lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today. Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second half hour of hour number one here on this Black Friday, November 28, 2025 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trigger Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Got a very interesting story about the upcoming U.S. Senate Democratic primary election. As Michigan Democrats are gearing up for their first competitive multi-candidate U.S. Senate primary election in more than 30 years this coming summer, assuming that U.S. Congresswoman Haley Stevens, State Senator Mallory McMorrow, and candidate Abdul El-Sayed all get the valid 15,000 signatures and stay in the race. While these types of primaries aren't the modern norm for Democrats, they're not a historical rarity either. Michigan voters have participated in 39 U.S. Senate primary races since the state started holding partisan primary elections for the office back in 1910. Previously, Michigan elected its U.S. senators through the state legislatures, as all states did. Actually, it wasn't formally changed until 1913, passing of the 17th Amendment. Well, of the total number of races, of the 39, 14 consisted of a Democratic primary. In the majority of the cases, 25 of them, Democrats offered voters only a single candidate. Republicans, on the other hand, had almost double the number, 25 contested primaries in the 39 that have taken place. Democrats offered up 70 candidates for the U.S. Senate since 1910. Only once have the Democrats had a primary challenger to a sitting senator. If you were an incumbent Democrat, you were never challenged. That's just the way their party works. However, in 1952, Blair Moody was appointed by then Governor Gerhard Menin Williams to succeed U.S. Senator Arthur Vandenberg, who had died in office. Moody faced a token primary challenge and then lost during the first Dwight D. Eisenhower landslide. Well, the Stevens-McMorrow-El-Sayed race could end up being a barn burner. And it's no shoo-in for it to be the most competitive Democratic U.S. Senate primary election in state history. But we need to look at races to see the results and to see where this has played out in the past. Now, it's kind of interesting, as we're heading into 2026, we have to go all the way back to 1994. Then, U.S. Senator Don Riegel was not seeking re-election. Six big-name Democrats sought the nomination, including one name from Modern Times, former Macomb County Judge Carl Marlinga. Later, ran and lost runs for Congress in 22 and 24. Well, that year of 1994, Marlinga came in sixth place with only 7.67% of the vote, despite the fact that he was the Macomb County prosecutor at the time. Now, it's very interesting because in the end, U.S. Congressman Bob Carr, Democrat of East Lansing, won the nomination by less than one percentage point, 24.02% to 23.06%, by then State Senator Lana Pollack of Ann Arbor. The race also featured prominent Democratic National Committee member Joel Ferguson, 19.83%, former U.S. Congressman William Broadhead, and State Senator John F. Kelly. So while the 2026 primary has some potential firepower, it needs a few more top-tier candidates to match what happened back in 1994. Other races that the report dives into is history. 1936, that's going back quite a while, 90 years since next year's election. Well, after getting smoked for decades in Michigan, Democrats found success during the Great Depression as voters looked for political alternatives. Lifted by the popularity of former President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Democrats turned to U.S. Prentice Brown, a Democrat actually from St. Ignace. Chose him as the primary victory winner by just two percentage points over Lewis B. Ward. Ward was a representative for Reverend Charles Coughlin, a very influential Catholic priest at the time, who split with FDR for not being tough enough on the banks. Kind of an interesting story there in that race. Well, in the end, Brown beat the Republican nominee, Governor Wilbur Brucker, in a very significant upset. So again, financial times came into play. Now, most recently, as of next year, it's going to be 50 years ago, 1976, the retirement of U.S. Senator Phil Hart opened the door for U.S. Congressman Don Riegel, Democrat of Flint, a former Republican who changed his stripes after Watergate. I did not know that. Don Riegel was a Republican and became a Democrat. Well, his main opponent was longtime serving Secretary of State Richard Austin, a very prominent leader among African Americans at the time, who was beating Riegel in one pre-election poll. However, Austin started to take on water when it became known that the Secretary of State had adopted a system in which he had handpicked managers to run branch offices, and also received a kickback from some of the fees collected as political contributions, turning them into personal gifts. In the end, Riegel won with 44.05% of the Democrat primary vote to Austin's 28.17%. James O'Hara, congressman from Macomb County, got 23.06%. And the Birmingham attorney, James Ellsman, got 4.15.
Well, Regal went on to beat the Republican Marvin Esch and ended up serving 3 terms in the U.S. Senate. So what does this all boil down to? Well, based on the fact that these are the top, at the right now, the top of the tier candidates for the Democrat side, it's going to get very competitive. It's going to get somewhat, I think, down and dirty heading into the August primary. That's my prediction. And they'll be spending a lot of money to win the nomination as the Democrat nominee, therefore not being able to save it for the November election against Mike Rogers or whoever ends up getting the Republican nomination. Now, the reason I say that, one woman is already running against Peters, and Bernadette Smith just recently announced she's running for it as well. Now, a lot of people are saying that the two women are going to split the vote and that Rogers could end up winning the nomination, being endorsed by Donald Trump, could possibly give him the edge. The one woman already in the race, her name is Genevieve Peters Scott. Well, MERS News Service came out with a story about her on the Republican side. Many say that they associate this Republican U.S. Senate candidate, Genevieve Peters Scott, for egging on Washington, D.C. rioters back on January 6, 2021. She may have heard, some may have heard, actually, that she protested outside of Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson's house over the 2020 election. Others remember her from a viral video of her walking into a Trader Joe's during the China virus outbreak without a mask, actually confronting the manager of the establishment. Well, with all that, Peter Scott says, "I've been in this fight for more than 4 decades with grassroots Republicans. There's nothing extremist about me. And I feel the whole narrative has been to diminish my impact. I stand for the Constitution, standing up against illegal mandates, standing to make sure that we are all able to redress the government as our Constitution tells us that we're able to do so, that we have a right to do it, and that this gives us protection. So we're going to continue on about this Republican candidate already announced running against Rogers, and next week we plan to have Bernadette Smith. She's announced her run as well. We'll have her on the show next week. I'll let you guys know what day so you can be prepared to listen to it. Final segment of hour number one. Today's show will be right back.
This is Justin Michael. I grew up in Grayling, Michigan, where small-town values and hard work shaped who I am. I proudly served in the U.S. Army in combat, and today I continue serving as a conflict resolution specialist and an advocate for veterans, families, and working people across northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula. I know the struggles our communities face because I live them. I'm Justin Michael. Let's start bridging the divides in our district together. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Lansing and Michigan needs to be fixed. Axe My Tax is a citizens' ballot initiative that would eliminate all property taxes in Michigan. Stop the theft of our homes, farms, and businesses by corrupt governmental entities and their outrageous spending. Help us make Michigan affordable to businesses and families once again. Go to axemytax.org, sign the petition, circulate petitions, and donate to help us fix our great state. Stop the stealing that's going on in Lansing. Join us. Go to axemytax.org.
Well, I'm sure by now y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithin, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The Gun Doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north, and you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithin of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the Gun Doctor.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY or call 800-654-9659. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Final segment of hour number one here on this Friday. Continuing on with Genevieve Peters-Scott. She is a candidate for U.S. Senate Republican running against Mike Rogers and Bernadette Smith. She started in politics while going to Western Michigan University, working with her then professor, Don Cooney. He ended up being a six-term Kalamazoo City Commissioner, and he was running for it when Peters Scott was going to school there. If she was to win the 2026 primary, it would just be a matter of her standing up for the rights of all Americans and Michiganders, she said. Standing strong for Americans, for our rights, liberty, and freedoms is never negative. And that's regardless of what side of the political aisle you're on. Actually, in September, Peter Scott came close to beating Rogers in a straw poll during the Republican Leadership Conference on Mackinac Island. She said she saw that as a reflection of backlash against career politicians like Rogers. We're kind of done with all that. And I think it is truly a reflection of that thought process. Michiganders are very independent thinkers. They're not people who just go along to get along with the party line. She was asked why she's running for the U.S. Senate as a Republican. Well, I've always believed in faith, family, and freedom, which are the bedrocks of the United States and Michigan. She said she's for small government, a large reduction in federal spending, the rule of law, and the closed border immigration policy. There needs to be consequences. I believe we should have peace through strength. We need to strengthen our alliances and create more friendships so we can stand together instead of paying for these endless wars. When asked why she chose to run for national office right out of the gate, she named the three qualifications needed to become a U.S. senator. You have to be at least 30 years of age, a citizen status for at least 9 years, and live in the state where you're running. Peter Scott said people have forgotten that our founding fathers knew very well these positions were not meant for elitism. They were meant for the common person who could come to Washington and create common solutions that truly represent the people. Some politicians can launch lifelong congressional careers that become part of the elite group. That's something that doesn't represent the people who elected them. Well, during the interview, Peter Scott theorized that this was why former Michigan Republican Party co-chair Bernadette Smith was part of the system, and that everybody had the right to run to stand up for whatever they believe in. However, we have a primary so that we don't have to just elect an elite group of folks who decide to run for office. We make it truly a voter's choice. Peter Scott said that her and Smith are friends. She said that Smith was one of the first people she called when she decided to run for the U.S. Senate, and she called me back and then decided to run as well. We're both running our own race. The people who want us in Washington, that's not with all this vitriol and division, hopefully will take place during this race. I mean, it was hard to start as a candidate, but now I have my race to run and she has hers to run. When it comes to herself, Scott says that she's a traveler, a hiker, a reader, a horseback rider, and a bike rider. And I love to do anything with my husband. She said they have celebrated 3 years together, and this is her first marriage. I met my husband when we decided I was ready to get married, and that was, yes, at the young age of 58. So she just decided to get married and did so 3 years ago. So that's the other candidate running against Mike Rogers. And again, we'll have Bernadette Smith on next week. I'll give you guys a heads up as to when her interview is going to be, and we'll be able to get it out there to everybody as well. I plan to reach out to Genevieve Peters Scott, plan to have her on the show as well. And of course, Mike Rogers is welcome anytime. Even though I don't see that happening for whatever reason, but Mike, if you're listening, campaign managers out there listening, Mike Rogers is totally welcomed on the show anytime. Just text me, get a hold of me after the show, and I'll be glad to schedule it. But what it looks like is right now, both the Republicans and the Democrats are going to have some various serious primary elections next year. They're not just anointing one candidate. They will be challenged. And then getting through and surviving the primary election in August, we'll have to then start building up their war campaigns funds to run against each other in November. So at least it's going to be fair on both sides. Both will be spending money for the August primary. Well, we got a history lesson with Pastor Chatfield in the next hour. Looking forward to that conversation. Top of the hour news break right now. Short break. We'll be right back.